Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. We claim the promise where two or three are gathered in your name that you'll be in our midst. And so, Holy Spirit, we claim your presence tonight. And since you're here, I pray that you would talk to us, that you would speak to each heart and each mind, that you would work in each heart and each mind and accomplish tonight what you know needs to be accomplished. Just thank you again that we can come to this place with freedom, that we can open this book without regard for what anybody else says, and that we can have a time when you can deal with us and speak to us and work in our hearts. Just do it tonight, and we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I got to talk to my friend Bart. You remember he and his family visited with us all. It's been several months ago, but I got to talk to him on the phone this week, and I'll tell you in a minute how that inspired my message. But we talk about once a month, and I don't know what got us started this time, but we were reminiscing about the first time we met. We were both going to a GMI, as it was known at that time. It's Kettering now, but I was sitting in the cafeteria. We'd been there for about two sections, so we'd been there for about 11 weeks, and it was the last week of our second section. And I was sitting in the cafeteria eating lunch, and he came up to me, and I'd met him, and we'd said hello to each other. But he came up with his food tray, and I was already eating mine, and he made this statement to me. He said, "You're not a skunk, are you?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't know what you mean by that, but I don't think I'm a skunk." And he said, "Will you mind if I sit down and have lunch with you?" And I said, "No, go ahead and, sit down." And we got to talking and got to know one another a little bit. And our friendship sort of took off from there. And after we'd known each other for, 5 or 6 weeks, I said, "Bart, I got to ask you, when we first met and you asked me that question, was I a skunk, what did you exactly mean by that?" And he said, "Well, when I left home," he's a farm boy from Ohio, and he didn't get out much when he was going to high school. And he said, "When I left home, my dad set me down, and he said, 'I tried to raise you to do right. I tried to raise you to be a man.' He said, 'Now you're going to go out into the world. I want you to remember three things. I want you to remember three things.' He said, 'Number one, I want you to always respect authority. There will always be somebody that will be over you, and whether you agree with them or not, whether you like them or not, because they have a position over you, you ought always to respect them. So respect all authority.' He said, 'Number two, always give people more than they pay for. When you go to work for somebody, if they're going to pay you for 8 hours, always give them more. Give them 8.5. Give them 9. And his dad was a farmer, worked hard all his life. He said, "If you'll do that, if you'll always give people more than they pay for, you'll never want for a job. Somebody will always be wanting to hire you." And then he said, "The number three thing I want you to remember is that if you hang around skunks, skunk is going to get on you. Pretty soon you're going to start smelling like them, you're going to start thinking like them, you're going to start doing like them. And so when you pick the people that you hang with, don't pick skunks." And he said, "That's why I asked you if you was a skunk. I watched you for 11 weeks. You looked like you were a pretty good guy, but I wanted to know." And I said, well, Bart and he and I went through a college together, sort of helping each other stay straight. And when they would have the parties, we'd leave and go do something else. And I spent a lot of weekends at his house down in Ohio. He came home with me a lot. And he's been a good friend all the year, but his all through the years. And his dad wanted him, when he was given him that advice, to turn out right. He wanted him to do right. He wanted him to stay straight. And I would submit to you tonight that God wants the same thing for us. He wants us to turn out right. He wants us to do right. And that last verse that we read there in chapter 5, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, we're not perfect. We're not without sin. We're not to the place yet that we still don't make mistakes. But what Jesus was saying is, keep striving for that, like Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I haven't attained yet. I haven't got there yet, but I'm still trying. I'm pressing toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I think in Matthew chapter 5, we can find in these verses that we read, four principles that God gives to his children. As a father that's giving advice to a child that's about grown, about going out into the world, four principles that if we would adopt, that we would put in our life, we would turn out the way God wants us to turn out. We would be a success in God's eyes. We would be a person that God could bless. And tonight, I just want to cover those four principles with you and ask you to think about them. Ask them if they're present in your life. And if they're not present in your life, then make some decisions tonight to maybe make them part of your life. Four little things that Jesus said, hey, if you'll do this, and by the way, this Sermon on the Mount was a revolutionary kind of sermon. He went against everything, he went against the world's philosophy. We've been talking about it as we've studied the Beatitudes so far, but you'll see again in these verses, Jesus is saying, look, if you want to be like me, if you want to be pleasing to God, then you got to be different from the world. And that same truth is still true today. It hadn't changed after almost 2,000 years. If we want to be like God, if we want to live pleasing to him, we got to be different from the world. And so, let me give you these four principles. Number one, endure a little extra. Endure a little extra. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you were going to name one of the world's philosophies today, that would be one of them. You kick me, I'll kick you. You take advantage of me, I'll take advantage of you. You hurt me, this is what the world says, you hurt me, I'll hurt you. In fact, we've taken it a step further. We've coined a new rule, not a golden rule, but a new rule. Do unto others before they do unto you. Amen? If I think you're going to do me wrong, I'm going to get you. And again, it's not the way we should be thinking, but this is the way the world thinks. If I think you're going to do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong before you get to do me wrong. Now, Jesus said, that's not the way it ought to be. That's not the way you ought to think. If you want to be blessed of God, if you want to be a success, if you want to be the kind of husband or the kind of wife, the kind of parent or the kind of grandparent that God wants you to be, here's the principle you got to live by. Not an eye for an eye, not a tooth for a tooth, not doing unto somebody else before they do unto you, but if somebody smites you on the cheek, turn around and let them have the other one. And what Jesus is saying is, we've got to learn to endure a little extra. I want you to think with me tonight. What does it take for you to stop? What does it take for you to quit? What would it take? What would it take? What would somebody have to do to you before you would say, okay, put them up, bud, that's all I can take? That's what Jesus is talking about. What would it take for you to do that to your spouse? What would it take for you to do that to your children? What would it take for you to do that to a fellow Christian? Here's what we do. Here's what we do. We draw lines in our relationship. You know, when you were a kid, and maybe some of you did it even after you were a kid, you know, you got so upset at somebody, you took your foot in the dirt and you drew this line like that, and you said to this guy, "Step over the line, bud, and you're mine." Now, I know maybe none of you ever did that, but I was a little... Well, I won't tell you, but I did that. I mean, I drew the line and said, "Hey, step over the line and we're going to go at it." Now, here's what we do in our relationships, in our marriages. We draw the line and we say so sweetly, "Honey, you step over the line, you're going to get it." We take this line. We say to our kids. Now, sometimes we need to say to them, I mean, we need to draw boundaries, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about older kids now. Here, we draw the line, and we say, "Step over the line, and you're going to get it." We do it in our service for God. We draw this line, and we say, "I can take it up to that line, but if you get over the line, we're going to put our fist up. We're going to put our karate chops up, whatever you call them. Right, you know, we're going to get our judo kicks out, and if you cross over that line, you're going to get it." And that's what the world tries to beat into our minds. And Jesus said, "Hey, if you want to be used of me, if you want to be blessed of me, if you want to be the kind of husband, the kind of wife, the kind of parent, the kind of grandparent, the kind of Christian that you need to be, then you've got to learn to endure a little extra. Hey, if you draw the line right here, why don't you move it over this way a little bit? And endure a little bit extra. Why don't you move it over here and draw the line and endure a little extra?" That's what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about turning the other cheek, is learning to endure. It's not all about... Now, I think there ought to be times that you draw the line, you don't move it. Like if somebody's about to break into your house in the middle of the night, get the shotgun out and say, "Hey, bud, you're standing right where I'm about to shoot." I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If somebody stands up and says that you can get to heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ, we ought to draw the line and not move it. There is no other way to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And there ought to be some lines we draw hard and fast. But there's some other lines that we ought to move a little bit. We ought to learn to endure a little bit extra. It's not about getting revenge. It's not about getting even. It's not about who's the strongest, who's the smartest. It's about none of that. It's learning to endure a little bit extra. Jesus said, if you want to become perfect, if you want to keep maturing, if you want to be more like me, then learn to endure a little extra. Number two, learn to give a little more. "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Here's what Jesus was saying. Hey, if somebody takes you to court and sues you, and the judge says, "Hey, you got to give him your coat." Jesus said, go ahead and give him your coat, but then say, "Hey, here's my overcoat. Take that also." It's like Bart's dad said. If you're going to go to work for somebody and they're going to pay you for 8 hours, give them a little bit more. Work 8 and a half. Work 9. Give them a little bit more than they've paid for. Give them a little bit more than is required. It's the same thing. The same principle is true when it comes in our giving to God. The Bible says that the tithe is the Lord's. Tithe is 10% of the gross. And when we tithe, we haven't given God anything. We've just let Him have what's His. We don't give God anything until we go over the tithe, until we go over that 10% and give above that. Too many Christians, they got the tithe figured down to the penny. They make $102.29 and they say, "My tithe is 10.22 or is it 10.23? And they argue about which one it's going to be. How do I round that off? Do I go up or do I go down? Now, Jesus said, if you want my blessing, don't just stop at the tithe. Don't just stop at what you owe. Let's give an offering. I was thinking about this afternoon. I've heard people say, they've said to me as their pastor, preacher, if I had $1 million, the church would never want for anything again. And I always question them. I said, really? You mean if you won $1 million, you would give some of it to the church? And they said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, how much would you give? And they said, well, $100,000. I said, well, you're not giving anything if you only give $100,000. That's your tithe. That's what belongs to God. You don't start giving until you give $100,000 plus one. And I found that most people like that are like these two guys, buddies for a long time, walking down the road, and one turns to the other and says, hey, if you found $1 million, would you give me half of it? And his buddy says, well, yeah. We've been friends a long time. If I found $1 million, you would sure have half of it. Thank you. Oh, I'm so glad to know that. They walk a little bit further, and the guy says, hey, let me ask you another question. What if you only found $500,000? If you found $500,000, would you give me half of it? Oh, yeah, we've known each other so long. If I found $500,000, you for sure would have half of it. Oh, thank you. You're such a good friend. They walk a little bit further, and this guy says, hey, if you had two pigs, could I have one of them? Hey, you know I got two pigs. That ain't fair. What's the matter? You asking me for one of my pigs? You see, it's not, he wasn't going to give him one of those pigs. It's not what happens when the what if comes true. What God is interested in is what do we do with what we got now. What we got now. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now what Jesus is saying is, we take a little thimble, and we give little thimblefuls, that's exactly how it will come back to us. If we take a bucket and give bucketfuls, that's exactly how it will come back to us. If we pull out the truck and give to God in truckloads, God says, I'll use that same measure to meet it back to you. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to give you some principles for life. Learn to endure a little extra. Move the line over. Just move, keep moving it over. Number two, learn to give a little bit more. Number three, go a little bit further. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Back in this particular day, the Romans ruled over the Jews. And a soldier at any time could stop anybody and say, I want you to carry my pack. And the law was you had to carry that soldier's pack a mile. You had to put down whatever you were doing, you had to stop whatever you were doing, and you had to carry that pack a mile. Now, in order, and not a step more, I mean only a mile. And in order, and I thought about it this week, I wanted to check and see if this is where we got it, but they had the roads marked with markers every tenth of a mile, just like the highways are today, so that the person that was carrying the pack knew exactly when that mile was up. And I've often wondered if that just sort of carried over to why we have tenths of miles marked on our highway. So when you picked up that pack, you noticed the marker and you counted off 10 of them, and when you got to the 10th one, you put it down and said, that's all I'm required to do. That's as far as I'm going to go, because that's what the law says. And Jesus said this, don't just go as far as the law compels you to go. If the law says you have to go 1 mile, go two. Go two. Go further than you're supposed to go. Jesus is saying that's how you get victory. That's how you get the blessings of God. That's the difference between law and grace. Going the 1 mile is law. Going the second mile is grace. Going the 1 mile, you are the conquered. Going the second mile, you are the victor. You go the first mile for man. You go the second mile for God. You go the first mile and you're hurt. You go the second mile, you're healed. Too many Christians are 1 mile Christians. They do what's required, nothing else. They go a mile and they put the pack down and said, "There, I've done God. I've done everything you've wanted me to do. Not going to do anything else." And Jesus is saying, hey, the real blessings come when you go the second mile. The real victory comes when you go more than you're required. And I'll just ask you, I mean, to me it's just common sense. If you were going to hire somebody to work for you, would you want a 1 miler or a 2 miler? Huh? I'd want a 2 miler. I'd want somebody that would go beyond just the requirements. I mean, when I get to make a selection for who's going to be a new manager, I don't look for somebody that just does what the requirements are. I look for somebody that anticipates what's going to be needed next and go ahead and prepares for that. I look for somebody that's thinking ahead and say, hey, here's the requirement today, but we could serve the customer, we could save some more money if we went a little bit further. That's the people that you pick to put into positions of responsibility. I don't think God's any different than we are. I think God's looking for people that will not only do what's required, but will take the next step, go the second mile, anticipate what God wants next, and go ahead and get ready and do it. So Jesus said, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be a success in every area of life, learn to endure a little bit longer. Learn to go a little bit further. Learn to give a little bit more. And then number four, learn to love a little bit deeper. You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Again, Jesus says, hey, I want you to be different in the world. I don't want you to just love people that are going to love you back. I want you to love those people that hate you. I want you to love those people that despitefully use you. And who was the greatest example that we have of that? Jesus himself. He didn't come to earth and go to Calvary because we were good, because we were deserving, because we were worthy. He came and went to Calvary because he loved us a little bit deeper. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love, or proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. They spit on him. They cursed him. They beat him. They mocked him. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They stripped him. They nailed him to an old rugged cross. And remember, this was the Son of God. He had all the power in heaven. He told his disciples when he were in the Garden of Eden, remember when Peter took out the sword and chopped off that guy's ear? He said, look, if I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels, and God would send them. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down willingly. And he hung on that cross. And remember one of the things he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If we love only those that love us, Jesus said, you know, we're no better than the publicans. They do that. But if you want to be like me, if you want to please the Father, then learn to love a little bit deeper. Learn to love those that hate you. Learn to love those that despitefully use you. And you say, oh, Brother Darrell, it's not my nature to do that. Not mine either. I'm glad I don't have to do it in my nature. I'm glad I can just let Jesus love others through me. We can just be channels. I'm glad the Bible says you don't have to like people like that. Huh? I don't have to like them. I just have to let Jesus love them through me. And so, as I thought this week about the advice Bart's dad gave him as he went out into the world, which is pretty good, by the way, I thought. I think Jesus got some good advice for us, too. Learn to endure a little bit longer. Learn to give a little bit more. Learn to love a little bit deeper. Learn to go a little bit further. Jesus said, you want to please me? You want to be more like me? You want to become more like God? Then you do those things. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simple truth that's in your word. Thank you that we have an example in Christ who did all of those things. And thank you, Father, that we have examples even here in our midst of Christians that are doing those things that we can look to and follow their example. And I pray, Father, that we would. I pray that we'd want to please you. I pray that we'd want to be more like Jesus. And this book is so full of instruction and encouragement to do that. I pray that we'd listen and we'd heed it and we'd do it. Thank you for letting us be here tonight. And Father, as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, I pray that we'd be obedient. And tonight, as we have this time of invitation, if the Holy Spirit's spoken to somebody about anything, I pray that they would be obedient and they would do what the Holy Spirit says. Bless this time. Help us to honor Christ in it. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.